Hi, my name is David Cook, and this is the Mindset of a Champion series. Today's topic is going to be called 10 Minutes Before the Trophy Celebration. I'll tell you a little bit more about that as we move forward here. I have been fascinated by a question in my life that I think will interest you, and the question is this: why on game day are some people able to elevate their game and to reach their fullest potential? At the same time, why is it that some people that are very talented, they get to game day and they fall apart? On the other end, or the other question that goes along with that, is about leadership. How are some leaders able to take people that are mediocre and put them together in a team and sell an extraordinary dream to them, and at the end of the year they become champions? On the other hand, how do you take a group of very talented athletes as a leader and undermine their game so at the end of the year they were just a mediocre team? As I grew up in Texas, these were questions that began to emerge in my mind as I was on this search of what does it take to reach your fullest potential in life. I continued that search on, and as I went to college, I studied coaching because coaches had a great influence on my life. And my thought, my belief about myself was that I wanted to be a great coach someday. But when I finished my degree, I realized that I'd had no preparation in the psychology or in the mental side. And to me, that was what made the difference. The question that I wanted to have answered wasn't about X's and O's and techniques. No, it had more to do with how do you get a person's mind to be in a position on game day for them to reach their fullest potential. It was about that time that this field called sports psychology was beginning to emerge, and so I went to study sports psychology to be a better coach of sport. I went to the University of Virginia. I found a fascinating field of study that since then I have brought into the corporate world, and I want to share that with you today. It's fascinating because it began to answer the questions that I'd had as an athlete and as a coach in my life, and I want to share some of those with you today. One of the things I realized when I was at the University of Virginia receiving my doctorate in sports psychology was that it's really a misnamed field. Sports psychology is the study of what does it take to be the best on game day? What does it take to lead people to their fullest potential? How do you use the mind to your advantage rather than allowing the mind to undermine your potential? And as I left the University of Virginia with a PhD in sports psychology, I realized this, that my goal had changed from coaching sport to coaching people. And that's what sports psychology is about, and that's what I want to share with you, some of the ideas and thoughts that I've learned there. I went to the University of Kansas, taught sports psychology for 12 years, and directed the applied sports psychology program with the athletic department for 12 years. Worked with 1,500 athletes. And it was during that time that organizations and corporations outside the walls of Kansas began to come to me and ask me questions because they understand that the corporate world is a place of incredible competition. It's a place where people are performers just in a different arena than sport. And the information I had a passion to teach people that want to be the best. And so I began to move outside of the walls of the university to teach corporate groups and eventually left the university to do what I'm doing now, and that is to coach anybody that wants to reach their fullest potential, to teach these lessons and ideas that we know to be true about what does it take to reach your fullest potential.
Mindset of a Champion will be right back.
I want to share a formula with you today and throughout this series that goes something like this. This is the foundation and the basis of what we're going to learn throughout this series called The Mindset of a Champion. It goes like this: performance equals potential minus interference. And I'm here to say this, and I want you to hear this well, that on game day, potential is just not enough. I've had the fortune of working with some of the greatest players in the world. I spent 8 years with the world champion San Antonio Spurs. We won 2 championships during that time. I've been with PGA Tour players, 5 of them, when they won their first tournament, 5 first-time winners. I went to the Olympic Games in Atlanta with some athletes. I was with the national champions at KU when they won under Larry Brown. And then all the other years, they went to the Final Four with Roy Williams. I've seen the greatest performers in the world at the highest level, and I'm here to say this: potential is just not enough. If you're going to reach your fullest potential, you need to understand something. It's just like when I walk in to a room full of athletes or great performers, and I look at them, and there's David Robinson, there's Tim Duncan, and there's Greg Popovich, the coach, and I walk in, and I see these people. I know something for sure right there. These people are highly talented and highly gifted, and so are you. I don't believe that any person in this world was made to be ordinary. I think all of us have been gifted to be extraordinary in some way. It's our job to search and to find that, to be extraordinary. All of us have some potential and talent in certain areas. Our job is to find out what those are and then to fulfill those. But on game day, see, as I look around that room and as I look at the people that are in this room and the people that will be listening to this program, you need to understand something. Having extraordinary ability and talent, having gifts and skills on game day just isn't enough. We've got to do something with this part of the formula called interference. We've got to be a strategic manager of interference, because when we walk into that arena, to that corporate arena, or to that athletic arena, or to that family arena, we need to realize something, that interference is the great underminer of potential. And we need to know what to do with interference. In this program, we're going to talk about that. I want to illustrate this deeply. I want to take you on a trip to the mind of an athlete. I want you to go there with me. I don't know what you've been doing today or what you're going to be doing later, but I want you to go with me on this trip right now into the mind of an athlete, and I want you to put yourself there. I want you to tap into the creativity needed for you to take this story and apply to your life, into your performance setting, whatever it is. The young man's name that we're going to talk about is Stan Utley. And before I get into this story, I want to ask you a question. Do you have a picture, see, in your mind of where it is you want to go? There's two pictures that are extremely important if we're going to reach our fullest potential in life. You see, the first picture is this. You've got to have a picture of seeing yourself holding that trophy someday. And you use your creativity and you tell me what that trophy is. You have to think in such a way that you can see yourself experiencing and holding that trophy, seeing yourself accomplishing that goal and living a life expecting that you're going to get there. That's where a lot of people that are goal setters stop. And that's an important thing. We've got to have that out in front of us. But I'm telling you, there's a more important picture that I want you to have. And it's this picture. What does it look? What does it look like 10 minutes before the trophy celebration? You see, when you get that picture in your mind, you begin to see that 10 minutes before a trophy celebration is a place of extreme pressure. It's a place where interference covers the environment. And if we're ever going to hold a trophy, if we're ever going to reach our highest dream, if we're ever going to fulfill our potential and move towards our destiny, we have got to be ready for that second picture.
Dr. David Cook will be right back.
I want to tell you a story and take you to the mind of an athlete. Young man's name is Stan Utley. He's one of the finest young men I ever worked with in my life. He's a great player, and right now in the world of golf, he is probably the leading putting guru that there is. But this goes way back into the early parts of his career. I want to tell you about him. He came over to play in the Kansas Open where I was living one year. And as he came over, he came a few days early because he had some questions he wanted to ask with me. And so as we got together, these were the questions. He said, "I want to know what you're supposed to think about when you're standing over a shot. I want to know what you're supposed to think when you're faced with a shot of your life." And he began to tell me his story. See, Stan had grown up in Missouri in a small town and had really emerged as a great player in that state. He went to the University of Missouri, where he was second team All-American in college. And then he graduated with a dream of becoming a PGA Tour player. He followed that dream, and for 5 years he had tried to qualify for the PGA Tour. The PGA Tour is one of the most grueling qualification processes in sport anywhere. 3,000 people will enter this event. And they'll have several stage one tournaments around the country where they'll farm these individuals out. Stan had gone through the PGA Tour qualifying school 5 years and had missed by one shot twice. You go to stage one with 150 players at each of these stages, and you play 72 holes across 4 days. At that point, they take about 10 guys from each stage and they move them to stage two. At stage two, all the winners show up. And there's different sites around the country, and all those great players show up there and they play, and then they take about 10 or 15 of those and they move to stage three, and now there's about 150 players, and they take them to one of the hardest golf courses in the world, like PGA West Stadium Course in Palm Springs, and they play 108 holes across 6 days. At the end of that time, back at the time when this story took place, they gave 25 young men a PGA Tour card. And they shook the hand of everybody else and thanked them for coming and said, "We'll see you next year." And these young men that didn't make the tour, they had to go out and try to make a living playing golf. There wasn't a second tour tier back then. There were some state opens and some little events that they could play in to try to scrape by until the next opportunity. And Stan had done that for 5 years, missing by one shot the goal of his lifetime. Now, when you do that, and you do that twice, you don't ever want that to happen again. And Stan was asking me the question, what are you supposed to think when you're faced with the shot of your life? Because he wanted to be ready. And he understood something, see? He understood to get to the trophy, to get to the goal, that he was going to have to go through that 10 minutes before the trophy celebration again. And he had done that on several occasions, and he wasn't the guy that got the trophy. What would you be thinking when you're in a situation like that? Stan, as he came to me, he played well in this tournament at Kansas. He said at the end of the tournament, he didn't win it, that he played, scored better than he actually played. And that as this process that I taught him, this thought process of putting your mind in position to score rather than worrying about outcome, that the only thing that you have 100% control of in a performance setting is what you think and putting your mind there. And therefore, when you go into the tournament, have your goal to think correctly rather than trying to score, because score is a reflection of the process. As I taught him that, he went into the tournament and I held him accountable to a thinking process. And that's what this series is about. He played great. He just didn't win, but he scored better than he hit the ball. The next week, he goes to the Missouri Open, and he wins the golf tournament at the Missouri Open. I'm there with him, and he wins the golf tournament at 17 under par in 3 days. And then it happened. He gets a phone call from the PGA Tour. "Hey, Stan, we have a tournament in Tennessee this week. It's a PGA Tour event. The best players in the world are here, and we'd like to know if you want to come play on a sponsor's exemption." Are you kidding me? This is the goal of his lifetime, is to play on the PGA Tour. He's played in one PGA event in the past, and he says yes. And he goes to Tennessee to tee it up with the best players in the world. 2.5 weeks before this, we had no idea that he'd be in that tournament. He goes to the tournament, plays great the first day, shoots 69. Second day, shoots 68. The third day, Stan shoots a course record, 64. He goes into the last day of the tournament. He's one shot out of the lead. He's in the next to last group. And he knows exactly what he's got to do. You see, if he wins this golf tournament, a lot of good things are going to happen. The biggest thing that's going to happen is he's going to get a 2-year exemption on the PGA Tour. He won't have to go through that grueling qualification process again. See, if he wins this tournament, he's going to win more money than he's ever seen in his life. He's wearing the hat of Titleist and using their ball, so they're going to throw in a bunch of money from the pool as well if he wins this golf tournament. He'll reach the goal of his lifetime if he wins this golf tournament. He'll be in the winner's circle if he wins this golf tournament. And winners get special treatment. They get to play in the Tournament of Champions. They get to play in the World Series of Golf. And back then, they got to play in several of the majors as well if he wins this golf tournament. And here's this guy that nobody really knows much about. He's in position with the possibility of winning his tournament. What would you be thinking? There was a destiny on the line for this guy, because he also had an invitation to the North Dakota Open next week, where first place prize was $5,000. Win the tournament here on the PGA Tour, 2-year exemption, playing for millions, being in the winner's circle, or being an also-ran and heading to North Dakota to play in a mini-tour event. There was a destiny on the line. I love what I do. I love the opportunity to work with these great players and to be in these situations with them and to watch, because my whole concept and idea and passion in life is to prepare you for those moments, those defining moments in your life that come. You don't get to pick the day. You don't get to choose the time, but they come. We call those the 10 minutes before the trophy celebration moments. I mean, it could be a moment during the day, or a great moment during the week, or maybe the two most important defining moments of the month or the year, but we can define them as important moments in our life. And I want you to be prepared to think well in such a way that you can reach your fullest potential at that time.
Stay tuned for more with Dr. David Cook.
He plays great this day, you see. He gets on the 18th tee box, and he looks up at the scoreboard, and he sees his name at the top. There at the top of the leaderboard of a PGA Tour event is his name. He's tied with 6 other guys. But the guys that were leading, who were in the last group, have fallen off the leaderboard. He's got one hole to play, and he knows exactly what he has to do to win this golf tournament. He hits a great drive right down the middle of the fairway. He's about 190 yards to the green. He takes his 5-iron out. He goes through the process that we talked about, and he hits the ball right at the flag. But there's one problem. He's a little bit aggressive, and it goes just past the flag, and now he's 12 feet above the hole. He's got a downhill, slick as glass, left to right breaker of about 2.5 feet to win this golf tournament. And if you're a golfer, you know that's not your favorite putt. Though it's not that far, the odds of making that putt when it's slick as glass. See, the wind had blown that day, and people had trampled the green. If that ball didn't hit that hole, it's going by 4 or 5 feet. And that gives you an opportunity to three-putt or really choke at that distance. He walks up on the green. He marks his ball. His competitor's about 30 feet away, and he's going to putt first. And as he marks his ball, he's saying, "It's just a putt. It's just a putt." And why was he saying that? The same reason you'd be saying that. Because at that moment, it's 10 minutes before the trophy celebration. And what happens at 10 minutes before the trophy celebration is that the voices in your mind, the interference, comes at you. And it comes at you full force. And if you're not ready for that, if you hadn't lived expectantly, and you're not ready to step into that arena and take it on and focus your mind, then there's another wasted opportunity in your life. And we don't have so many of these defining moments in our life that we can just waste. We want to be ready every chance we can. When that phone call comes, when that deal's about to be made, when that sale is right there in front of us, when those opportunities are there, we want to make sure that we capitalize at that moment. And there was Stan as he backed up. He said, "It's just a putt." Because, see, just like you, there are voices that are taken off in his mind at that point. What voices would be going on in your mind? Probably one like this. "Hey! This is it. This is the most important shot of your life. You'll never have it again. Do it well," the lead voice would say. And then the second voice would come in. The second voice, the voice of fear, would chime in. Hey, whatever you do, just don't choke. Don't fail. Don't three-putt. What would they write? What would they think? See, if you three-putt, you'd be a loser. Whatever you do, just don't choke. And then the conservative voice decides this is a good time to throw my weight in there. So the conservative voice says, hey, calm down. Hey, whatever you do, just lag it. Don't try to be a hero and make this. Just lag it. Get it close. Don't try to make this. You remember all those shots in your life? You remember all those times in your life when you stepped out of your comfort zone a little bit to try to make something special happen and you fell flat on your face? Don't let this be one of those. You see, as Stan reached down and he picked the mark up and he put his ball down, he's got 20 seconds before that putt is hit. And in those 20 seconds, one of these voices is going to emerge. And the one that emerges is going to affect that putt, and it's going to affect his performance. And you need to understand that you have the ability to choose which one of those it is. which one would you choose? Or is there a better voice? Is there a better way to think? I'm here to tell you there's a much better way to think. And that's what this series is about. When you're facing the shot of your life, I want you to be prepared and know exactly what to think. Here's a quote I want to leave you with. Always set an extra place at the dinner table so when destiny comes knocking on the door, you invite him in just as though you've been expecting him. You see, you want to live life expectant. You want to expect those moments, those defining moments, those opportunities that are in front of you. You want to be ready when the knock comes to walk through that door. You want to set the table. I look forward to our next series, and I want you to understand something. I want you to know that without a shadow of a doubt, we've got the answers to your questions of how to reach your fullest potential. Always set an extra place at the dinner table so when destiny comes knocking at the door, you invite him in just as though you've been expecting him.